even from this short passage, you can understand that there were a lot of amazing things happening on Easter Sunday. The rolling away of the stone, the appearance of the angels, and also, you know, one string of events after another. These were all amazing. And not the least of which was how God showed his favor and mercy upon a group of women. Before we proceed any further, let us pray together. Father, we thank you that on Easter Sunday, in your own way, you broke the power of death. You destroyed the realm of darkness, and you gave us life, new life, abundant life, eternal life. We thank you, O Lord, that because Jesus lives, so shall we who believe in him. And today, O Lord, if there is any place in our hearts, if there is anyone here who needs to see Jesus in fresh light, new light, who needs to be touched by him again, who needs to be lifted up by his grace, we pray, O Lord, that because you are already here, do that for us. Do it for the least of us. Do it, Father God, for any one of us. And do it, Father God, for all of us who come confessing to you that, oh Lord, I have a need. I'm that person. I need to see Jesus, perhaps again for the very first time in new light. So free us, encourage us, empower, enlighten, and also gladden our hearts. For this we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For thousands of years, and even including the time of Jesus, women were not given a lot of high esteem. In fact, during the time of Jesus, you know, women were oftentimes mistreated, or they were oftentimes accorded with low social status. So what is very amazing and unique about this passage and other similar Bible passages in the way Jesus dealt with women is that the very first appearance of Jesus, the very first proclamation and instruction by the angels regarding the resurrection of Jesus was to a group of women. It is a very fitting and honorable recognition to the faithfulness and also to the discipleship of the women. If you look at all four Gospels from Matthew right through to the Gospel of John, you find that, you know, significantly and deliberately, women feature highly in the most important accounts of Christian events, such as the announcing of the good news to Mary or to Elizabeth. And now, on the day of resurrection, the announcement of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not to the 12 disciples or other disciples that Jesus had asked to follow him, but to this group of women, no man included. I think there is something to be said about this. There is a lesson for all of us, men and women, young and old, to learn. That is, God really honors those who love and serve him. God honors those who love and serve him. In the first three verses, we see that, you know, the women came, although their faith was shaken, although they didn't quite know what to expect, although they kind of, you know, remember what Jesus has said about his resurrection, but they have no idea how it was going to take place. Nevertheless, they came. They came expecting to find a dead body in the tomb that they once saw on Friday. They came preparing to embalm the body of Jesus with spices so that it doesn't smell and rot badly. They came just wanting to worship Jesus to make sure that things were okay. They also came because they did not know who would be able to put away the huge stone guarding the entrance of the tomb. They just wanted to do their very little, whatever they could at that moment for Jesus. They wanted to find yet another way to express their love and also their service to the Lord Jesus. There's a little illustration about a king who was building a cathedral, but he wanted to make sure that all the credits about this construction project would go to him and no one else. So he, because he was a king, ordered that, you know, no contribution whatsoever would be accepted towards the building project, and that he would personally and singularly fund the entire expenditure. And further than, you know, further to that, he ordered that a sign to be placed prominently in front of the building project, saying that, you know, the king is the only one who contributed solely to this project. But that evening, he had a dream. In his dream, so goes the illustration, an angel came, and then what the angel did was that the angel came to the sign and the angel erased the name of the king from the sign and substituted the name of the king with the name of a poor widow. This happened once, twice, and three times. The king awoke from the dream, and he was quite puzzled and wanted to know what exactly it meant. So he gave order to find this woman and to be brought to him. Finally, this woman, trembling in fear, came before the king and replied, "I love God so much and I wanted to do something for his name and for the building of his church. Since I was not allowed to give anything, since I was not allowed to touch it in any way, I therefore brought a little bit of hay for the horses that carry the stones. I therefore brought a little bit of hay for the horses that carry the stone." The king was very touched and impressed by her testimony. And the result is that he ordered her name to be inscribed on the cathedral. It may be just a story, but it goes to tell, you know, goes to show that, you know, in the very same manner, the Easter women, the group of women who appear at dawn on Easter Sunday, they too, like this woman, poor widow in the story, have hearts of gold. They have traveled, these women on Easter Sunday, they have traveled with Jesus for quite a while already. If you wanted to know where they started, go to Luke chapter 8. In the beginning, three verses, Luke tells you, and Luke has, you know, women ministry at heart when he wrote his gospel. Luke would tell you that, you know, at the very early start of Jesus' ministry, besides the 12 disciples and other people, there was already a handful of women who dedicated their lives, their times, everything that they had to Jesus, to serving him and to serving his 12 disciples. So in Luke chapter 8, you find that, you know, there was this group of women traveling and accompanying Jesus from town to village, from region to province, from their hometown to eventually the capital, Jerusalem. They have only one mission and one task. That is, whatever they do, they did their very best to care for Jesus' need. And if you go to Mark chapter 15, you find that Mark also had a similar story about this small group of women who were so dedicated to the life and also to the cause of Jesus. Not only did they help Jesus, but they also, you know, helped the disciples with their daily needs. And you have to understand that, you know, this is not really that easy for this group of women because most of them did not have a regular income. In fact, most of them probably didn't have any income at all. But we are certain that at least from Luke chapter 8, Luke told us that, you know, there is at least one woman in this whole, you know, in this small group who had some kind of a reliable income. Her name is Joanna. Her husband worked for Herod. And so, you know, through her husband, she could rely on a dependable income. And perhaps from this income, she would put aside a little, you know, a 10% for Jesus and his ministry. But no matter what happened, she is the only one in this, you know, handful of women who had regular income. Nevertheless, you know, poor, not so poor, or having a dependable income, this group of women's love and care for God were very evident. During the lifetime and ministry of Jesus, but also now, after the events of the crucifixion. In fact, during the crucifixion, when everything fell apart, you remember that the disciples, including Peter, who had vowed to defend and stand by Peter, he had to deny by Jesus. He had to deny Jesus three times. Who were left near the cross to look after Jesus, to accompany him, not the man disciple, but this group of women. And in this group of women, we know one name in particular, Mary Magdalene. She, more than any other woman, had reasons to be kind, compassionate, and devoted to Jesus. According to Bible teachers, Mary Magdalene, in all the gospel accounts, she was not the attractive, you know, the beautiful woman that you see in movies and videos. In fact, Jesus had driven out 7 evil spirits from her. Mary Magdalene was a damaged person, a spoiled good, but she met Jesus and Jesus gave her new life. And from that day on, she saw Jesus in a different light, in a positive light. And from that day on, she, together with other women and other disciples, followed Jesus wherever Jesus went. And now, in the last days of Jesus' life, she was there, together also with other women, trying to attend to whatever need that Jesus might have. And after the crucifixion, on the early dawn of Resurrection Sunday, this same group of women came again, trying to prepare Jesus' body for burial. There is something to be said about God honoring those who love and serve him. We see in the lives of each and every one of these women, although none of them were chosen to be among the 12 apostles, none of them seems to have high education, and none of them seems to have come from a family of nobility. But nevertheless, they have one thing in common. They have hearts of gold, and they wanted to love God. They wanted to serve him. They wanted to do whatever they could, if only they knew how, for God. No wonder the very first persons to see Jesus on Resurrection Sunday, the very first group of people to hear the instruction and proclamation of the angels, were none others but this group of women. Because they love and they serve God. But I think there's also a second idea, second fact that, you know, God honors those who listen and trust his words. God honors those who listen and trust his word. For the rest of the passage, you know, we read about how the angel appeared to the women, frightened women, told them about what happened and sent them back to tell the disciples. And when they told the disciples, Peter, among others, rushed to the cemetery to check things out for themselves. But if you read further on in the story, you'll find that, you know, Peter was not entirely a believer. He has his own doubts. Yes, he and John and others went to, check it out for themselves, but they were not entirely convinced. Mary and the other women have yet to see Jesus face to face. And yet, being told by the angels, there was enough for them to obey and to relay the good news of resurrection to the rest of the disciples. If you put together all the accounts, on the one hand, by the women disciples, and on the other hand, by the men disciple, of their reactions to the good news of the resurrection, you find that there is a huge contrast between the two groups. You may remember that on the roads to Emmaus, the two disciples who left Jerusalem, you know, somewhat disappointed that Jesus had been crucified, and there doesn't seem to be any good news from that. On their way to Emmaus, Jesus appeared to them. It was a 7-mile journey. And all through the 7 miles, Jesus told them about the prophecies concerning himself. It did not occur to them that it was Jesus himself talking to them until the end of the journey. It took 7 miles to explain the truth of the resurrection, the miracle and the reality of the resurrection to these two disciples. Compared to this group of women on Resurrection Sunday, they were a little bit slow to believe and trust the word of Christ. And when this group of women reported the news to the rest of the disciples, they have to check it out themselves, but still they were hesitant. You remember that on the evening, the first evening of the resurrection, when Jesus appeared to this group of disciples, they were behind closed doors. They were petrified. Jesus had to assure them with the same familiar words, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And Thomas had to wait a whole week until Jesus appeared to him personally again in order to be convinced that it is indeed the miracle of resurrection. So putting all the accounts together, you find that, you know, between the men disciple and the women disciple, there's a huge difference in their willingness and capacity to accept, to trust, and to believe in the words of Jesus Christ. Throughout their journeys, the women disciple may not have understood a lot. They may not have been privy to some of the personal teaching by Jesus Christ, because Jesus oftentimes took the disciples with him, and also sometimes three among the 12 disciples, to do instructions. But nevertheless, compared to the men disciples, they were a lot more willing to trust. They were not naive. They were not simple-minded believers, but they had faith sharper, deeper, and stronger than the men disciples. And no wonder, I think for this reason also, God chose to show his favor to the women and bless them with the first encounter of the risen Lord. Bless them with the instruction and the proclamation announcements from the angels. I don't know where you are today, but if you need, like the women somehow, to see again Jesus in fresh light, to see him as you have never seen before, to hear him, to experience him, to be touched by him, you have come to the right place. You have come to the right scriptures, because here, through the examples of the women disciples and later on the rest of the disciples, God is saying that no matter who you may be, pastors, lay leaders, or even if you just became a new believer, you need to be touched by God from time to time. You need to have fresh encounters with him. You need to hear what God says about himself, a real, almighty, living Savior. Just like at the beginning of our service, you know, even before the call to worship, where we affirm with one another that, you know, Jesus is risen, he is risen indeed. We hear the familiar words from Job. I know, this is what Job is saying. Long-suffering Job, with more reasons to complain than any one of us here. But he could say that, you know my Redeemer liveth. And on the very last day, he shall stand upon the earth. And not only that, when I place my faith in him, I shall see him. My soul shall see him. And I yearn for that for a day. That is the kind of invigorated faith that the women had. That is the kind of faith that caused them to go to the cemetery, not so much the 12 disciples. That is the kind of faith that caused them to see for themselves maybe the dead body of Jesus Christ, if they could do anything more for him. But God surprised them with an empty tomb. If you need to be touched by God again, this is a great, great place and a great, great time. Because God says, you know, the way that I've touched and opened their eyes to see my son Jesus for the very first time in lights that they have never seen before, I can and I want to do the very same for you. You may have been a believer for a long time, but somehow events and the wear and tear of lives have slowed your faith down. Somehow, you know, we have become a little bit more insensitive, a little bit more hard of hearing to what God has been, you know, telling us. Sometimes we may find that, you know, we're walking away a little bit slower behind Christ and later on a little bit further away from him. But like the example of the women believers, God says, it is time to refresh your faith. It is time to come to me, and it is time to renew your service, your love, and your faithfulness to my son, who is alive and who can show you new power, new strength, and new depth in faith, in living, in love, and in worship. So if you are in that picture, maybe you are not as disappointed or as confused as the women disciples were that day. But if you have a need and you know that God is your answer, this is a great time to recommit ourselves to him. For you find that, just as you'll be listening from the words of the choir, when you come to the tomb of Jesus, when you come seeking him, you no longer find a dead Savior. You no longer encounter an occupied tomb. You see the hands, invisible hands of the Lord, ministering to you, lifting you up, comforting you, holding you, and walking with you. So we thank God that today, guiding us, are no longer the physical hands of Jesus who once walked the face of the earth. Guiding us, supporting us today, are the invisible hands of a mighty, gracious, and the only Lord and Savior of the universe. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks because we know that Jesus is alive, indeed very alive today. And we pray, O Father God, if somewhere, somehow, our faith is left less than alive, our faith is a little bit down, or maybe we're not quite sure where he has gone, O Lord, create in us a clean heart again and renew our relationship with you. Put that hunger, put that desire in us, that we may, like the women disciples, come to you, that we may, coming to you, hear you speak words of power and words of kindness and words of restorations to us. We thank you that you are more than able to do that. And we thank you that you are already doing that. All this we give you thanks in the powerful name of the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Master. Amen.